You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Did you burn the last hour's tape, Bup?
Yeah, I burned it to a CD.
Oh, no.
And we're going to give it out to the first caller.
Just burn it. Just burn it. That was horrible radio.
No, you're not supposed to say that.
It was kind of funny, but it was like, you know, what the heck?
Don't do that to your own show, though. Your door opened all by itself. Sponsor is listening, and you're like, "That was horrible radio." He's like, "Maybe we ought to look somewhere else."
You know? Well, they'll listen to the second hour, and they'll say that it's great entertainment. I'll send them shows from the past.
Yeah. You know,
don't tell me. Hey, every show is a season there.
Oh.
Just because you had a good show yesterday doesn't mean you'll have a good show today, there, Bob. This is kind of like, you know. If that's the case, I've been on a 4-month winning streak.
You haven't done a lot of sales, have you?
I don't like sales.
You are soft. So.
But if you want to be an advertiser, please call me and be part of this great show that I have here.
Pretty much the second hour, though, right?
The second hour. Yeah, I get warmed up. Hey, let's get some quick scores here. Ducks have gone ahead 18-13 with 8 minutes left. ASU is now at half. They're down by 13, 44-31. Virginia has realized that there is a Christmas.
Yeah.
71-50. And actually, the point spread is 21, so they're sitting right on it.
How about that?
And the Volunteers came back to beat Colgate with a smile on their face. Did you get that?
Yes.
77-70. I like that. And, of course, the big win of the day was from UC Irvine. I had that game, Kansas over Kansas State. I didn't think that Kansas State coach is very good. He's the guy that used to coach at Illinois when Arizona played Illinois back in the day, and Arizona blew that lead in the final few minutes. I just don't think he's a very good coach, and he's done a good job at Kansas State after leaving Illinois. I guess he may have been fired at Illinois and landed at Kansas State. He's done a good job there, but I don't think he's that great of a coach. So just in about 7-8 minutes, we're going to have a call from Mike Fader. He'll save me in my second hour, talk a lot about Sugar Skulls and kind of life. He is my life coach, Mr. Mike Fader.
How about that?
You're second to my life coach with all those crazy questions that you have. That? So that word I wanted to come up with was Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. That's a German word for feeling the pleasure you get when you witness someone else's misfortune.
That's sad.
It's very
Schadenfreude.
Sad. And
why will you keep saying Pfaffenugen? That's not even a real word.
Because it's I was being funny.
Oh.
My sarcasm is not worn on you, has it?
Oh, gosh. Hang on. Let me do this for you then.
What's that say? If you don't know me right now.
If you don't know me.
Bob, you'll never know me. You'll never know me, which is sad.
Right.
But that happens a lot, especially between ASU and U of A. It's called envy. Envy, in a sad envy. I'm not a UA grad or an ASU grad, but it's unbelievable to see these guys throw barbs at one another. ASU doesn't like the success that UA has, and UA is still envious of the little success that they've had, although ASU has... ASU has owned Arizona in athletics recently, especially this year, football, basketball. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling me. What's going on?
Well, Schadenfreude, that's how you say it.
Yeah, okay. Say it one more time.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude, okay. That's the real way. Okay, thank you. But you understand what I'm saying.
One more thing. The wild chairs,
Yes.
Wheelchair basketball team, I think they won this morning at the Nationals in Cleveland.
Where is that at? In Cleveland?
In Cleveland.
Where do they end up? Is it, this is it, Nationals?
This is the Nationals. This is the national tournament.
They don't go any further. I've seen them play. They always played at the, after the season's over, they always had that wheelchair, the charity event.
Yeah. We're actually before the season starts.
Oh, okay. So what's next?
This is it, man.
No.
This morning.
No, but they have another game, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they have more games through the tournament.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So,
well, it'll be over by the time you go back in the air on Monday, won't it? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. No. But do you have contacts for them?
No, man, they're online. The National Wheelchair Basketball Association.
No, but do you have context for the local group?
Yeah, Mia Hansen is, she's not part of that group, but my kid played for her, and now he's playing for U of A.
Okay, I'll check. Maybe we'll have him on the show next week to see how they did overall. By that time, the tournament will be over, and we can kind of talk to them on their success.
I bet they'd have fun with that.
Yeah. No. I like talking about these types of stories. You know, the people that don't get that much publicity.
It's fun to watch the high level of that stuff. Just like anything else.
Yeah, no, I've watched a few times. Like I say, after the season for U of A, I guess it maybe stopped more than a decade ago when they'd play in that the wheelchair charity event.
They'd have the regular basketball players playing against the wheelchair guy.
Yeah, that's it.
And it didn't play out for a long time very well.
Yeah. It was kind of strange. Arizona, by that time, no one cared because Arizona was already out of the tournament.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Greg. Thanks for calling. And say that name one more time so I can learn how to say it.
Schadenfreude.
Okay. But you get it, right? People are always envious of somebody else's demise.
Oh, I love laughing at other people's misfortune. Don't you?
Oh, God, no. I don't.
That's the banana peel effect.
Yeah, okay. Greg, good knowing you. I don't want to know you anymore.
you already know me, man. over El Tour.
Okay, Greg. I get it now. Now I know exactly who this is. Thank you. Thank you for listening,
later.
Too.
You bet.
Appreciate it. That's Greg, one of the good guys. You know who he is, Bob? Yeah, okay.
I didn't realize
his voice sounded familiar. Now I know who it was. So now you get what I'm talking about. Yeah, maybe we'll have those guys on the show next week. The Wildcat wheelchair team, I think it is.
What's their name?
They're the Wildchairs, I think.
Wildchairs.
Yeah, I think so. And that'll be fun to watch and to talk to them. Maybe you'll call it up right now on the old web, interweb.
And you know, I was thinking too. Maybe Mike Vader could get you a job as a sugar dog.
Sugar dog, yeah.
I'd be sugar dude.
I'd be a little bit more animated than you, but not much.
I think you'd do a great job.
Yeah. I'd be like, could somebody substitute? I'm kind of winded. You know,
winded?
What's the medical benefits? Because I'd probably need them after every game. You know, sore after every game.
Wild chairs.
I think it's one word, Senor.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, Google doesn't know, and nothing came up other than Facebook. But you can't get on Facebook.
Arizona Wild Chairs.
Arizona Wild Chairs. That looks just like a wild chair. They play guitar, do they?
Sure. You're still funny.
Well, I mean, the guy has a picture.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't mean Wildcats.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break here because Fader's going to call in about 2 minutes. And we'll talk a lot about indoor football and other things going on in town here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Hey, Bob, do you have ADD? No?
Sorry, what were you talking about?
Do you have ADD? No?
No.
The reason I say is that because you can understand why people do, because they have like 5,000 things to do at the same time, and there's not enough time to kind of concentrate on one. And I know you're busy with the boards.
What did I miss?
The boards, the phone calls, and the me jibber-jabbering. And you have like 3 or 4 things in my world.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't miss anything. I'm just wondering if you did, because I wouldn't be surprised if you did, because there's a lot of things to do.
Oh.
You know? So you're good at this. That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. I thought maybe you were trying to text me or something, or because I had your preview on and I didn't.
No, it was just an observation.
Sometimes I can hear you breathing.
Do you? Yeah.
He doesn't text. He sends things on Facebook Messenger.
Yes, I text and Facebook message. That's all I do. Yeah, phone. What's this
Facebook
thing?
Messenger.
What's this phone for? I never knew what this phone for. Hey, that's.
Yeah, I believe that with you.
That's the voice of Mike Fader or the guy from heaven calling me. calling me. There's a voice calling. What's up, Mike?
Not much. How about you?
There's a lot of things going on with the Sugar Skulls, even though you don't have a game this weekend.
No, there is. I mean, we have a trial camp that's going to be tomorrow morning. At 8 o'clock on the north side, so on the soccer field side, and we've actually signed 2 guys from trial camp from the first trial camp. So it's been a good chance to be seen. It allows our coaching staff to learn more about some people kind of with local ties, you know, also some people came down from Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy we signed is Alex Rios from Suarita. Definitely signed out of there. And then a few other guys were definitely seen, and there's been a lot of contact made. So Marcus Coleman, our head coach, his belief, quite honestly, is we always need to keep looking. We can't be content.
Yeah.
And we need to keep doing the best we can to improve.
You've been in this business a long time, way before you even got here 30-some years ago.
Trying to say I'm old?
No. I'll call you old if I want to. You know how.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, because I'm just as, you know, right behind you. Hey, how defeats and wins kind of phase you differently than the coach? How was it last week? Were you there in Phoenix?
I was.
How was it?
Well, when we're home, the wins and losses aren't as bad because you're working so hard and you're trying to entertain your fans.
Yeah.
And you've got 1,000 things going on, and you're just so excited. Because I don't think I've been on the air with you since we played our last game.
No.
At home.
Right.
And, you know, just the excitement in the building. I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just to see the smiles on people's faces. That's exciting. Now, when you go on the road, like I did last Saturday, you're nothing more than a fan. I mean, I'm paying attention to on-field contests and PA announcements and video board things. So you're doing it that way. But you care so much about your team that it hurts, you know, to lose that badly. But it probably – I think you had Marcus on earlier in the week.
Yes.
It shows you where you are.
Yeah, no question.
And they're the best team in the league. And, you know, when you turn the ball over 3 times inside your own 5-yard line, you don't generally win many games. So I just want our guys to really enjoy it. And it was hard just to see the pain and what was going on in their faces and their hearts during that game. But it's one game. I mean, we're 2-1. We're playing a team that we should beat next Sunday, San Diego. And then we come back with the Rattlers. So, you know, the question is, how much do you learn? And I think with us as a new franchise, we're going to just continue to get better and better.
Yeah. Does this, in your second stint with arena football and indoor football, does this feel any different than it did last time?
Not really. The reason I love indoor football, arena football, is it's such a fan-friendly game. And there's so many things. I mean, just the people get into it. I mean, I had a meeting a little while ago with somebody from Southwest Gas, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was out of town, but my sister and her husband went, and they're never going to miss a game, and they had so much fun." And mm-hmm. and he's, you know, this person I was talking to has been to Rattler games before, and it, you know, that's makes you feel good when you know you're doing something that's good for your community. And, you know, that people are really enjoying it. And quite honestly, the economic impact that you're creating for the downtown area by doing something special. So we just have to keep building on it. We're far from being done with what we want to achieve.
Sure, sure. No, you're 9 months into this as a franchise
right.
And just a few weeks into the season. Did you, when you went up to Phoenix, and you've, like I say, you've done this a number of years before at New Orleans and here, obviously, that you saw that they did some cool things that you might incorporate here fan-wise?
No, they're definitely, no, I have a notebook when I go and I write some stuff down. You know, I mean, people in our business, in the sports world, we all steal from mm-hmm, each other. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you're stealing. For one, it's a sign of flattery. But two, you still have to twist it to the way that best works in your community.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you get an idea, sometimes things have to be sponsored, but at least it gives you another thing to put on your checklist of opportunities. But there's definitely some good things. The Rattlers are the gold standard. We've said that before for indoor football probably as a whole. I mean, that day I was there, I think they had 16,000 people. So it's pretty impressive. And, you know, they've got the ribbon, the 360 board and the big video boards. And, well, we don't have those things. So, yeah. But we just have to do the best with what we have.
Is there a rule with using those videos that you can't replay replays or can't replay show games, plays?
That's a good question because I don't remember us playing many.
Right. That's why I didn't remember either.
I don't know the answer to that, Steve.
Yeah, because there were some calls. There were some calls or close plays that you said, God, I'd like to see that again. And then you look at the board and then never showed. They never showed it.
I'll find that answer out next week.
Yeah. So here's some things. And then there was a couple things. I think you had a couple of fan things that they'd go down. Either they threw a pass or kicked.
Yeah, that's strong point plumbing. They're going to give a $25,000 air conditioning system away. It's really a cool deal, and they have prizes every game. And it's one fan, they got to go by their booth and sign up, so you're throwing at three different levels. The first, I guess, I didn't see the guy, but I heard it was way right from 10 yards out. So let's just say the guy probably didn't have too much athletic prowess.
Right. So you have to kind of throw three passes.
Through the goalpost.
Through the goalpost in three different areas, and you win. You move one to the other, and that's how you advance.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Banner's going to have a contest. You know, we're going to have the kiss cam. We had some technical problems in the building on some video stuff. Tucson Appliance is going to have something that the fans could win. So it's just, we knew after the first game we had to tighten some stuff up.
Yeah, like I said, we haven't talked since the game. What did you really like about what you saw?
5,200 fans.
Yeah, so that was good. That's a good number.
Very good. We want to get better, but I think that was a tremendous start. I liked the fan enthusiasm. I liked the way the fans really got into the game, painting their faces and making noise, because you want to build a home field advantage. Merchandise, we just killed it. I mean, so yeah. Much so that we've had to order a lot of new stuff for the March 31st game.
Yeah.
The outdoor, the pregame tailgate party, I thought was really good. Did you get a chance to go out there?
I was there briefly as I tried to get into the arena.
But it's an area just to the north of the ticket windows, and it was free. And, from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we had two live bands, and we just, a lot of stuff going on. Dave and Buster's had some games there, and, Tucson Federal Credit Union had a lot of fun activities at their booth. By the way, there was a beer garden where people can get beer for $5.
Yeah, that's one of the big sales there. Hey, I have I don't have a quick question, but Bob does. He was trying to find some tickets online yesterday, and I don't know if you still have that question, Bob.
Oh, I noticed the only way I can get tickets from your website, it refers me to Ticketmaster rather than to
yeah,
the...
Yeah, that's a fair question, and the fees are very high. So we ask people to either go to the TCC box office in person... anytime, Monday through Friday. I think if there's a Roadrunners game, they're also open on Saturday, which there is tomorrow. They open generally about 10 o'clock, and I think they're open till 5:30. There's no additional fees besides the $2 TCC facility fee. So that's one way. They could also call to get orders. They can call our office, and we can help facilitate it for them. I mean, our phone number is 573-3000. Okay. So we could help people out, just find out where they want to be.
Yeah.
Take their credit card information and then help fill their order form.
Just curious, when I went there, I kept thinking, why do I end up at Ticketmaster all the time? But I took my daughter and my wife, and we loved it.
Ticketmaster building.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense. We loved the game. It was great. It really was.
Oh, you enjoyed it? Good.
Did. Yeah. Even got to see you. So,
and then we have our show, our Monday afternoon show with Arizona Housing Solutions. That's a great show. You guys provide those tickets for. They can always call in on Monday and get those four tickets. The people who won them initially had a great time. It's a great time to spend two and a half hours watching football, get a drink, and enjoy family friendly stuff.
Well, for sure. I mean, we have another area that we really have to get the word out on. It's our Modelo Party Zone I don't know if you noticed, it's in the same level as the video board, all the way at the end. It's $20. That was standing room, but it's going to be another party area. But your first beer for $9, which is a $9 beer, is free. So in essence, you're paying $11 for the ticket, and you're getting a beer.
Is that on the field level or upstairs?
No, up above.
Above. Okay, I didn't see very many. I saw the Modelo signs, but I didn't see the area. Can you see people up there?
We have people up there.
Okay.
And Modelo is the official cerveza of the Tucson Sugar Skulls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I had to get that plug in.
Cerveza, yeah, no question. I have a funny thing to tell you because you've witnessed this for 30-plus years. In talking to Kevin Guy after the event, you know, he said, you know, Steve, the one thing is we got to get the word out, Tucson, because they spent a lot of time coming late and then they left early. And this is, and I'm in my head, I'm not telling him anything. I'm thinking in my head, exactly, that's what Tucson is. They're late buying tickets. They're late getting into the game, and then they leave early. When you have all these opportunities to kind of get the autographs at the end of the game and then get a good seat or get into their seat before the kickoff, that doesn't happen.
Well, and go to the pregame tailgate party.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that gives you something to do before getting into the game. I mean, I think people witness the fact that parking could sometimes be tough at
yes,
the TCC.
Very much.
So we're going to try and get a parking plan posted on our social media. But again, that's part of coming early. And the nice thing is on a Sunday, the parking meters are all free. So people could park downtown for that. There's a lot of parking downtown. You know, people just need to kind of scout it out a little.
Yeah, but I'm just curious. I hope you stay for another segment. We talk about other things. But when you did the Sidewinders and you did the Toros all those years, at what point or what inning did you finally get a sense that all the people were there?
Well, if it was dollar beer night, they were always there at 7 o'clock.
right on time.
That was a given. If we were giving away T-shirts or hats or any other little thing, they were there at 6 o'clock. Traditionally, in the summer, people waited for the sun to go down because we're playing outside.
Yeah.
So that was an automatic reason why the crowd was later, because it was warm. I mean,
yeah, sure.
There's no other easy way of saying it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I think, you know, what happens is when you go, well, I'll give you two examples, and you and I have talked about this on the air. Keno Stadium, when you come here, you're going to get later. You're going to be later because you have to go home and get your family and come all the way back. And what's the worst perception of Keno Stadium?
Yeah,
too far.
It's too far, not in a good spot.
Right. And so that hurts you there. High Corbett, we actually had people come a little earlier because people would just go from work and go grab some place to eat or get a drink and then come to the ballpark. So totally different psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about that. And it was in the heart of the city. You just had to find a place to park and then walk to the stadium.
Right.
Without question. Okay, can you stay for another 15?
Yeah,
we'll talk about the other things, the NCAA tournament, what else is going on in the city. So let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm on the phone with Mike Fader of the Sugar Skulls, the executive director of the Sugar Skulls. In your history, how important is it to have a winning team as opposed to not a winning team?
Well, I think when you only play 7 home games, I mean, people would rather that we win instead of lose. But I think I think some people understand you're a new team. So, I mean, I don't want to go 0-14, but we're going to lose games. So, I mean, if we were to go 9-5, 10-4, I think that's a very successful season. In minor league baseball, I always felt, and people will disagree with me, I felt there was an excuse if you complained about winning or losing. Because you have 72 home games,
mm-hmm.
and people are coming out because of your promotion. And, you know, if you won, great. If you didn't win and you got some free stuff or you got a discount on something, then there's a fundraiser, then you were all right. So now I will tell you in Tucson, we had championship teams when I was there in 1991. And then,
93, wasn't it? 93?
93 and 94. I was trying to think back on that, you know, with Rick Sweet and stuff. So it didn't hurt. I mean, our winningest, our most the largest attendance ever was 91. And so you probably remember we won the league championship then. But do you know why it was their best crowds we ever had?
91. Kenny Lofton?
Oh, my God. We had a U of A basketball player.
Yeah, Kenny Lofton. Okay. Good guess.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, that was huge.
Yeah. No, and I say that people love following winners as opposed to not following winners. But if you continue to win like you probably will, that helps with the attendance. Probably maybe 10% or whatever. Give or take?
Maybe not. I'll tell you, the reason why I'm hesitant is if people are having a great time, then I don't know that that's, I mean, unless you get your rear end kicked, and somebody witnessed it, oh my God, these guys aren't too good. That's different. But that should not be the case. So I don't think it's as much as 10%.
Yeah. Well, you saw, and I'm sure you were well aware, you didn't go to San Diego, but I heard that the attendance for that first game for them was absolutely horrible.
It was horrible. It was their first game, and hopefully they're going to do better in the future. They got a later start than we did. So I think that made a big difference. So it's just, we want them to do well because of the regional aspect.
Right,
You know, I think that's really important. So we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, so have you been paying attention to the NCAA tournament, even though Arizona's not in it?
I kind of lost interest for that reason.
Yeah, you and many others.
I didn't watch Selection Sunday, and usually I would because I wanted to see.
I think we lost him. I think we may have lost him. Okay. We'll get him back on the phone.
In the last 20 years that I haven't done a bracket.
Really? So we lost you for a bit. Say that again. You did not watch Selection Sunday, and then?
And then I said the first time in at least probably 20 years that I haven't done a bracket, and I didn't do a bracket this year.
Oh, wow. Well, I did one at the last second just because I didn't want to feel left out. And you have no dog in the fight? You have no winner?
No, none whatsoever. But it's funny because I kind of get a kick out of some things. That 7-10 game still amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the number 10 seed has won twice of the three they've played so far, right?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
And the 8-9 game, the 9 wins more than the 8.
Right. So it's just what I love about watching the games, and I don't really sit down and watch full games. I'm jumping in and out, but the passion is what I enjoy the most. The emotion. You know, to see, you know, the reaction of the players and the, you know, knowing that, my God, your season just ended. So that's what makes the NCAA tournament something special for me.
Yeah. No, it has a different theme for a lot of different people. So I know you're a baseball guy, been a long baseball guy. So are you kind of anticipating the major league schedule starting here soon?
Well, I actually watched the end of the Oakland-Seattle game a couple nights ago. It started at 2:30 our time, but it was kind of cool because I woke up, and to see Ichiro retiring, playing his final game, and to watch the crowd reaction to that was amazing.
Yes.
I mean, they say Ichiro is bigger than anything we have in the United States in Japan. Rock star, movie star, athlete, he blows it away times five. And it was really cool to see how that was played. But I've already been in one fantasy baseball draft. I'm in another one tonight with a bunch of Tucson guys, actually. Cody Ritchie is actually a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I look forward to it. I buy the baseball package, you know, that you get to watch every major league game. And so I'm much more avid of a baseball fan than you are. But I love the stories in baseball. And then I think, you know, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. So it's fun to watch the Cub games, and Wrigley Field's a special place. So that's always enjoyable. I probably don't watch the Diamondbacks that much. It's just, they don't do much to excite me. And then, I just think they've kind of turned their back on Tucson a little. So I guess that'll be my last editorial comment on that topic.
No, and that's fine. You better stop there. The funny thing about it, I know you guys love this fantasy. I know everybody does. My problem with it, and I haven't been in a fantasy baseball in forever, is that your allegiance kind of sways. If you're on two fantasy teams or have groups, you're competing against yourself almost, because you're hoping this guy does well and then this guy and this guy. You know, to me, it's kind of like you're split emotionally.
You are. Oh, no, without question, especially in football.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, for me, I'm a Bears fan and a Saints fan. And then you got the quarterback going against them. And so you almost hope that the team you love goes up to a big lead, so that other quarterbacks got to be throwing to catch up. And then you don't feel quite as bad about it. But now you want that running back to score touchdowns. Oh, no. I mean, the Bears just fell behind.
Right.
What am I doing here?
Exactly.
But it also is part of the success of the game of football.
It made it
so big because so many people are involved. You know, the one thing is, I think people are more loyal to the players than they are to their team.
I don't disagree with that. And it's become such, like you say, very popular, but it's kind of not exploded to the, because it exploded more, but it's going to that point where people just love their players because they drafted them.
Right. Well, baseball is much harder for people in fantasy because you play, 162 games. One league I'm in, you can make moves daily. And I mean, I was so sick that night, I told you I was watching. I have Lou Trevino, who's a reliever for the Oakland A's, and this one league you get holds. So A's tie, games tied 4-4. The A's have first and third, one out in the bottom of the eighth, and I'm going, come on, base hit, then my pitcher's going to get a win. And nobody else probably even knows who Trevino is. The A's hitter hit him with double play, and I was irritated the rest of the morning.
See,
I didn't get a win.
I couldn't deal with that because then your day's all messed up. God,
right? Well, but the league that's drafting tonight, I started when I came here to run the Toros in '89.
Yeah, no, I was part of that group the first year, '89, '90, I think it was.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, the good news about that league is you only can make three moves weekly. So you're not a slave to that daily grind of what's going on.
Yeah, you actually have to pay attention almost daily to see what was going on and where you stood in the standings. Yeah, no question.
Right.
No question. Okay, well, we'll let you go. Have fun tomorrow. Well, be busy tomorrow. Are you going to be there for the evaluations?
No. No, I let the football people handle that.
You said there's two signings, but in fact, just Alex Rios is signed, correct?
I was trying to figure somebody else that was at a camp, and I couldn't remember who it was. So I could have been wrong on there, but
but Alex is still on the roster.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and actually he plays a lot.
Yeah, no, he does play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, good luck tomorrow finding that extra.
All right, have a nice weekend, everyone. Enjoy the air show.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have Coach on Monday to give away those tickets for the next game because you guys come back and play next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
We
great.
Sure do.
Great.
Next, so Sunday, March 31st, 3 o'clock, Tucson Sugar Skulls versus the San Diego Strike Force. And then please follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Mike. That was Mike Fader, the executive director of the Sugar Skulls here in Tucson. Thanks again, Mike. And let's go to break, Bob, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And now I just saw a guy roaming the halls, and a guy who I love talking to is Mr. John C. Scott, an avid sports guy. How are you, John?
I'm well, thank you. I'm very, very pleased to be here. Thanks so much.
Good to see you and that you're doing well. You're alive.
Your
Kansas Jayhawks won. Every time they play, I wonder, is John going to be upright today?
You know, my home is a shrine to the Hawks.
Is it?
I have a stained glass Jayhawk. I mean, a huge stained glass Jayhawk. I won't even tell you what I paid for that in Lawrence, Kansas. But I have a big light behind it. So if they win, it's illuminated. And if they don't win, and it's been dark.
It's a dark day.
It's been dark for a while. until they won against Northeastern just yesterday. But I also have banners, you know, and I have a twin sister that lives in my hometown of Independence, Kansas, and she keeps sending me memorabilia, like by the, you know, loads, everything, you know. And then all my children are Arizonan by birth, but Jayhawks by the grace of God. So they all send me, you know, a Jayhawk memorabilia for birthdays and anniversaries, everything. Uh-huh. And so my house is just filled with Jayhawk stuff.
Let me ask you real quick. There's Kentucky, there's Kansas, there's North Carolina, there's Duke.
they're all in the Midwest,
all
by
those,
the way.
Yeah. All those blue blood.
In the Midwest.
So do you when they win, obviously they've won a couple of times here.
In the Final Four last year, yeah.
Is it a great glee, or when they don't make it, is it a pain?
I'm going to tell you, the saddest day of my sports life was 1997 when Arizona beat the best Kansas team in history. I mean, I was literally mute. I mean, literally mute for a year. And I'll tell you another example. I got that from my father. My father took me to the national championship game in 1957 with Wilt Chamberlain against North Carolina.
Where was it at?
Kansas City.
Okay.
It was in Kansas City. And he didn't have the money to buy the tickets, but my uncle sold suits at a major department store in downtown Kansas City. He said, look, take a $100 bill and give it to this doorman. He'll let you in. And I was like, 1957, so I was like 15 years old. So we get to the door and we hand $100, which is a huge amount of money in 1950s. I mean, that was like my father was sweating. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they let us in, and we're sitting high in the rafters, not in a seat, but between seats, in kind of a, you know, the stairway leading up to the top of the municipal auditorium. Wilt Chamberlain misses the shot in triple overtime to North Carolina. North Carolina wins. My father, honest to God, he was the greatest Jayhawk fan that ever lived. He grew up in Lawrence. All his family went to school at KU, married my mother. Whose five daughters all graduated from KU. I mean, her sisters, their five girls that all graduated, and they all from Lawrence. But he couldn't speak. He would not talk about that game in 1957, and I couldn't talk about 97. I just couldn't do it.
Wow.
I mean, it hurt me so bad because, you know, Ralph LaFrance, Paul Pierce.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I just thought that was a great team. But
right. Roy Williams cried after that game.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those deals where you got to a particular point where you never knew what Williams was going to do, cry or cry some more or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, we may play North Carolina again if we get to Kansas City, but who knows? Yeah. It's always such a crapshoot with this tournament, don't you think?
You've been in Tucson a long time.
I have 50 years almost.
You know the hate, love, or no, there's no love. The hate between ASU and U of A.
Absolutely.
In fact, let me just get an update. Arizona State's losing 69-49.
Couldn't happen to a greater team.
I kind of expected this. The love, hate, is that the same as Kansas State and Kansas?
It used to be Missouri. It really wasn't Kansas State. The rivalry was never with Kansas State. The rivalry for all these years in football and basketball was Kansas-Missouri. And, of course, when Missouri then went to the SEC, then, you know, the whole Big 12 thing. And mm-hmm. and Self said, I'll never play that team. I won't schedule a game with them because they destroyed the conference. But it was the Missouri that was the great rivalry. And there were some great contests between the two. Just enormous contests. Kansas down 20 and then wins in the last second, that kind of thing. It was just amazing.
So today, Kansas State losing, it's not good or bad. It doesn't really.
Kansas has beaten Kansas State so many times, probably 60 out of the last 70 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Kansas State rarely beats KU. And I think it hurt Kansas to see Kansas State as the co-champions of the conference after Kansas had won it 14 years in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody will ever do that again. I mean, Wooden had 13, Self had 14. You just don't dominate a conference like that year after year after year, mm-hmm. and get a piece of that tournament. Out of the conference championship year after year, it just doesn't happen.
So there's no glee in Kansas State losing.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. There might have been some Jayhawk fans that were pulling for Kansas State, but Kansas State beats Kansas in football every year like a drum, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got the LSU coach, so we'll see what happens with that football program.
Right, right. No, that should be good for Kansas. There's no question about that.
Well, you would hope that, yeah.
They had the big dude. What was his name? The big dude who got Mangino. He was a big, big, heavy
Mangino,
guy.
Mangino, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They took him to the Orange Bowl.
He did really well with them until
He would just slap his kids around and yell and scream at people. And, you know, he got to be pretty frustrating for the administration and the folks that ran the PR, you know.
We are a different time.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him continue to do
that.
Yeah,
yeah. So I know I asked you real quick if you do a bracket. You did a bracket. Who's kind of going deep in your bracket?
In the Midwest bracket, you know, of course, I'd like to see Kansas go further. But again, you got North Carolina in there. You got Kentucky. It's just going to be a really tough one. At every one of these particular teams, you know, that are not a one seed are going to have a real rough time.
Mm-hmm.
The one seeds look pretty solid.
You saw Virginia today?
Yeah. They finally came back. You know, I thought, lose to a 16, two in a row?
That would have been disaster.
You would disband the program. No more basketball in Virginia. They would say, that's it. We're done.
Bennett, we will
never do that again.
Sorry to bring us the program to the heights you have, but we no longer need you.
We no longer will play basketball in Virginia.
Right.
And that would have been the result of a 16 beating them for the second year in a row. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Who's in your Final Four?
Well, I like Duke a lot. I just think awesome.
So
I think you can keep them out at all. You know, I'd like to see always Kansas go further, but I don't think they have the horses this year. I like North Carolina a lot. I think, you know, you're back to a Duke, North Carolina possibility along the way. I don't see Virginia going that far. I watched them a bit today, and I went, oh, my gosh, what are they doing?
Right.
So, you know, Villanova's not that strong, you know, after a couple of great years.
It's the bracket on the west, is it? I think it's Zaga, Michigan. Oh, then who do you have coming out of the west?
I don't have Gonzaga in this thing in my Final Four. I don't think they're consistent enough to do that. And St. Mary's beat them. You know, I mean, I thought that, well, you're not going to lose in a tournament championship like that. And
right. So who do you have in the west?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. Do you have?
Michigan.
That's a solid team.
I like the coach. He's a very good coach.
Yeah, he is.
I mean,
a great
if you
coach.
Remember, Michigan came here three,
what
4 years
ago. What about Izzo striking the kid or thinking him, yelling at his face? Did you talk about that today?
No, I did not. Yeah. I remember seeing that briefly. But to me, it's.
Did that bother you?
Not anymore. No. I'm already used to seeing that.
He was in his face.
I saw that.
Really, really in his face.
I saw that. But we live in a weird time now. That's called, if that was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's called Tuesday.
Right.
You know, now we're not Tuesday anymore, but. I think that's how people coach, you know?
Yeah.
Sean got criticized for it with Tarzewski a few years back.
Yeah, he did. That's right, he did.
It happens. It does.
I don't think you can touch the kids.
No, I agree with that.
I think you can get their face yelling and scream and do all that kind of thing, but I don't think you can grab them. Bobby Knight, that was his terrible mistake.
Let me also say, this is on camera. What do we not see that's not on camera?
I have no idea.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. What do we see in a practice or something?
Correct.
I'll tell you, there's just so many people around, though, all the time now. I mean, very little things. Things just can't be hidden very long. You know, if you abuse players, it's going to come out. Somebody's going to say something, and it's going to get you in a world of trouble. And I think it's a lack of discipline on Izzo's part. I mean, I really do. I mean, this guy's a grown guy and has been there a thousand times before. Calm down. What the hell?
No, I know. There's so much pressure to win.
Yeah, there is.
There's always been that pressure.
Yeah.
To go to that extreme in public, that's a different story.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Miller going to stay or go?
Right now it's
50-50?
It's 50-50 to me. It could be even better than that for the state. We'll know in a month when this trial starts.
Yeah.
But, you know, he does have a lot of baggage. I mean, his assistant's been fired, and a couple of them have went arrested, all that stuff. So there's history. So what do you do if you're the administration? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be paid out if he's not coming back.
He's going to pocket $5 million or more, right?
Oh, yeah, at least.
At least.
Wow. And he's a good coach. I really think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good guy, too. But he may have just tried. I think the pressure of not going to a Final Four just literally got to be so heavy on him. I mean, it was a burden, an albatross around his neck.
Let me tell you something. I was on your show a number of times for a number of years, and that was your number one question to me. His failure not to get to the Final Four.
It's the crucible. It is the crucible. You have to get to a Final Four or you're not going to be judged among the great ones.
I was talking to Bob this morning or in the first part of the show, and I said, it doesn't matter what you do in November, December, January, February.
Nope.
It's all about March.
It is.
It's how you're rated in your job. You may win a lot of games, but, what did you do in March?
Yeah, where were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah.
And it's a tough job, but guess what? Give me $6 million. Let me try.
But I'm going to tell you, these 2 days of basketball are the greatest 2 days in all of sports.
We're going to do our show.
In all of sports.
Let's do our show from Vegas next year.
All right, let's go.
Tuesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday.
Get on the plane. You got it.
Next year.
Hey, thanks. Great show.
Thanks, John. Thanks
all
a
right.
bunch. Hey, thanks, Bob, for a good week of shows. Good music, as always. We'll get to this next week and talk more hoops because it's always about hoops this time of year. Let's have some fun. Thanks here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.